Good morning, New Beginnings. Today's message is coming to you from the Book of Psalms, 34, verses 11 through 15. Again, Psalm 34, verses 11 through 15. I will be reading from the ESV version. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. Heavenly Father, most gracious and wonderful God, we thank you for your word and pray your blessings upon this day. We ask, dear God, that you bless this message, that it goes forth in a manner that is pleasing to you, and that it is acceptable to all who hear. May it have an everlasting impact on their lives forever. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Psalm 34 is a psalm of thanksgiving. It is a testimony of God's goodness and David's thanks. David is overjoyed that God delivered him from his fears. He states his intent to worship Yahweh at all times. In verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, these two lines repeat the same thought in different words. David is saying that his blessing and praise of Yahweh will always be active, always present in his heart, mind, soul, and actions. This praise is an intentional commitment to enthusiastically praise the name of the Lord in a continuous manner at all times. It is not known what caused David to make this pledge. Nevertheless, we can assume that God delivered him from an horrific situation that caused David to be overjoyed. I will bless the Lord at all times. Now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, we are encouraged. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now in verse 2, the author invites, even commands, others to listen, in particular, those who are weak. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. And in verse 3, David inspires all the afflicted and the whole assembly to join together in praising God's name with him, to experience a like deliverance. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The assembly will worship Yahweh together by offering praise, so that what began as one individual's praise has now become a corporate reason to praise. After David's pledge, in verses 4 through 7, he tells us how he cried to the Lord and the Lord heard and delivered him from his enemies. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. David sought the Lord, and the Lord answered him and delivered him from all his fears. David doesn't tell the whole story, but he does say that he sought or prayed to Yahweh. Yahweh answered and delivered him from what may have been an horrific experience. Now, I know many of us have stood before the congregation of the Lord and given a testimony of God's goodness. We've given testimony of what God has done for us in our lives. When we lost a job, we may have given testimony about how God provided for us. When we were sick and shut in, we may have came and gave testimony to how God took care of us. Whatever the testimony was, God can deliver you. Christians, we are promised power and strength when we call upon God to deliver us from spiritual attacks and Satan's schemes to bind us. We are promised power and strength when we call upon God to deliver us from Satan's strongholds, addiction, emotion, thought, relationship, finances, whatever the strongholds are, we are promised power and strength when we call upon God to deliver us. When we call upon the name of the Lord, we are promised the power and the strength to overcome any stronghold that Satan put on us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. They, the weapons we fight with, have divine power to demolish strongholds. We are promised power and strength because the weapons we use have divine power to demolish strongholds. In verse 5, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. See, I'm thinking of David when whatever the situation may have been, maybe a great weight was upon him. Maybe he was worried about something. Whatever that weight was upon him, God, when God delivered him, that weight was lifted. That weight was lifted. His face was bright with the light of God's face. When God delivers you from darkness, there should be a radiant glow that is written or seen in your entire being. You see, when there's a great weight upon you, your demeanor changes. Your facial expression changes. Your attitude and behavior changes. But when that weight is lifted, when that weight is lifted off of you, there should be a bright light upon your face. Verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. In verse 7, David introduces us to the fear of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Now, there are several expressions in the context that are equated with fear. In verses 7, 9, and 11, fear refers to one who fears, or pretty much afraid. And in verse 8, it describes one who trusts in him. See, God's angel was the instrument of David's deliverance. The Lord protects and delivers those who fear him. Well, in verses 8 through 10, David describes how God blesses those who trust him and fear his name. He said in verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack." He concludes the first part of this psalm saying, "The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything good." All of our true and real wants will be satisfied. Now in verses 11 through 14. There are several practical lessons we can learn from this psalm about the fear of God. Thus far, David has talked about the blessings received by those who fear the Lord. In verses 11 through 14, there are several practical lessons we learn from this psalm about the fear of God. Thus far, David has talked about the blessings received by those who fear the Lord in verses 7 and 9. In verse 11, he offers to teach them the fear of Yahweh by inviting the young to come and listen to him, and out of his own experience, he would show them the value of a godly life. The young is somewhat vague and could mean that David is inviting his children or all hearers or young people in general or the least of them. Whatever the meaning, David wants to teach them the fear of the Lord. Come, according to Psalm 34:11, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. If you want to be taught the fear of the Lord, come, children, and then listen. David is making a commitment to teach the fear or reverence of the Lord to the young, making known that in order to fear the Lord, you must be taught how to fear the Lord. However, in order for fear of the Lord to be taught, one must come and then listen. So in order for fear to be taught, one must come and listen. If we fear or respect God, we have been taught to fear or respect God. If we want our children to fear or respect God, we must teach them to fear or revere God. You ever wonder why some of our children across this great land of ours have no use for God or His Word? Maybe they were not taught to fear God. David tells us that those who fear God are those who truly enjoy life and see good days. I believe we all want to see good days. In fact, I believe that many of us want to live a long life. However, mere length of days would not suffice for most of mankind. In verse 12, David says, what man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? In verse 12, David asks this question. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? David asks simply, do you wish for happiness? If so, then I will show you the way to happiness. Again, we have to keep in mind that David must have been going through something, that he sought God. And in seeking God, God answered him and delivered him. And it caused David to say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David is overjoyed. David is happy, and he wants to teach the young about this happiness. Those who fear God are those who really enjoy life. Those who seek pleasure from life without the fear of God have no idea what real joy is. In fact, they don't really understand what life itself is all about. In verses 13 and 14, David tells us how to see those good days, in essence telling us how to fear or how to revere God. In verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. This is the first piece of instruction for those who would fear Yahweh. James chapter 3, verses 4 through 12, James describes the tongue as a fire capable of great destruction, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. he concludes that a godly person should have a godly tongue. Sins of the tongue are greatly noted throughout the Psalms. In Psalm 10:7, his mouth is full of cursing, deceit, and violence. Trouble and malice are under his tongue. In Psalm 50, verse 19, you unleash your mouth for evil and unharness your tongue for deceit. In James 3, chapter 3, verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to control his whole body. See, according to Psalm 106:33, Moses spoke rashly with his lips. Job 38:2. Job darkened counsel by words without knowledge. The tongue is an instrument of much evil and needs restraint. It is to be kept from speaking evil of God and man, from cursing and swearing, from filthy speaking, from all obscene words, and from all lying words. The fear of God cannot be in any man or in any person where such evil speaking is indulged. We are to stop using bad words during our regular conversations, as well as speaking hypocritical and deceitful words, because neither of them demonstrate the fear of God in your eyes nor your hearts. If the end result of the Lord's deliverance is happiness, then the means to this happiness will be a right moral conduct. Therefore, one practical lesson we learn about the fear of God from this psalm is control your tongue. In verse 14, it tells us, turn away from evil and do good. Speak peace and pursue it. Here, David is encouraging two things. One, David is encouraging negative goodness. Turn away from evil. Evil is all around us. Evil people and their evil company, evil things, evil words, and evil works. Evil is all around us. It remains close, and all appearances of evil should be declined and shunned, because according to Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Therefore, we should be free of any wrongdoings toward God and man. Two, just as David encouraged negative goodness, he requires positive goodness. Do good. Do good by removing evil from your life. Do good by breaking any laws of God. Do good by having a conscience free of iniquity, both towards God and man. Do good. In essence, actively perform the will of God from the heart. Not only acts of beneficence to those in need, but do good in whatever the word of God directs. Carry out the precepts of the moral law in every way from the principles of faith and love. Another practical lesson we learn about the fear of God from this psalm is depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil and do good. The last lesson that we can learn from verse 14. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. David encourages us not to cause any disagreements, but seek and pursue peace in the world and with all people as much as possibly can be. We are encouraged to promote goodwill and harmony in our neighborhoods, cities, and states, and in the churches of Christ, and with the saints, as well as with God through Christ. In Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14, he encourages them to strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Therefore, another practical lesson we learn about the fear of God from this psalm is seek and pursue peace. As Christians, our testimonies are not boring because they involve the action of God, the one whose ears are turned to us, the one who has delivered our forefathers, and the one who is ready to deliver us if we are bold enough to ask. David sought the Lord. The Lord answered David and rescued David from all his fears. It is left up to us today. We are reminded that when God does deliver us, we are to share that story so that our individual praise can become a communal praise. When we celebrate some great deliverances, which awakens praise and inspires us to teach others trust and add the secret of a prosperous life, we then can learn how to fear the Lord. And we can fear the Lord. We can learn to fear the Lord if we control our tongue, depart from evil, and do good, as well as seek and pursue peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, most gracious and wonderful God, we thank you for this day and praise your blessings upon in our lives, that it may have free course to accomplish your will. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.